Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. I am Sterling Holmes, live in studio. I managed to get here through the little blizzard outside while Darren is still resting up, getting better at home. Darren, I'm jealous, man. I don't want to be hurt, so I'm not saying jealous of that part, but jealous I didn't have to go into the station today because that my Jeep Wrangler was blowing back and forth in this wind right now. It's crazy.
So I'm curious, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to us on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. I'm curious, did your flaps fly open? I mean, you know, is everything like shuttered down or what?
It was loud, man. It was loud. I don't even have the back of my soft top on right. It's really tight to get it done, and when it gets cold, it tenses up and it's not loose at all. And I was like, dude, I'm not going outside. If I get a little chilly in there, luckily the heat works great, but it was a nightmare. But guess what? We're here. We're live. We have some fun stuff to talk about. A lot of coaching changes going around the NFL, as well as a great round of playoffs, including the Chiefs Browns coming up. So Darren, I don't know where you want to start. Maybe you want to start with something that may get you a little riled up. Sammy Watkins.
Trust me, I'm already riled up dealing with the Chiefs and their communication department. But you know, it is what it is.
Well, let's get into that then with Willie Gay Jr. and Sammy Watkins officially being listed as out for Sunday's game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is now listed as questionable. But with Sammy Watkins and Willie Gay Jr., what do you make of these two guys being out?
Well, Willie Gay, I mean, him being a rookie, to me, his injury has got to be severe enough to where if he's out, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to question it. Sammy is just, look, I've come to the fact that Sammy Watkins has enjoyed his 3 years here in Kansas City and has been paid an awful lot of money to have missed 15 games thus far. So, look, man, I'm not, you know, not that I'm throwing any shots or anything, but I've told you all season, man, the man can't stay healthy. And I know people say, well, you need him for the playoffs. He's not even available for the playoffs. So, I mean, he is what he is, man. He's a broken, you know. I know somebody earlier this week said that Sammy Watkins could be somebody's number one wide receiver. I'm like, you can't be a number one wide receiver if you can't stay healthy. And the man can't stay healthy. I know he suffered a concussion that wasn't his fault earlier this year, but then he tweaked his hamstring. Like, man, your hamstring that tweaked to where you're missing 5, 6, 7 games. I'm off the bandwagon with Sammy right now.
See, and this is what's frustrating because if Sammy Watkins...
Because I'm right.
Well, no, but I mean, yes and no. With Sammy Watkins, what I'll say is if this was a regular season game, I would have no problems if he has a hamstring or an ankle injury, whatever it is. That's okay because you know why? The whole reason for Sammy Watkins is to be healthy and be that game changer for the playoffs because he was that difference maker last season. He was noticeably... A huge advantage over the second cornerbacks on teams. Guys were focusing on Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins was a guy that was helping the offense go and making it tick. This is a big loss. I mean, I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to lose to the Browns, but I'm saying this is a big loss knowing what we saw last year and how impactful Sammy Watkins was. Willie Gay Jr. is a big loss, but he wasn't playing a ton this season to begin with. Once Willie Gay Jr. did start playing, he looked extremely good, but... to me, the Sammy Watkins, this is a big loss, and he's paid this money to show up and perform in the playoffs.
A player's best ability, Sterling, is availability, and he can't be available when it counts. And look, he took a pay cut. Let me not say massive. He took a pay cut, And, I mean, he's getting his money whether he's injured or not right now because he's on the roster. But, again, how are you contributing? And for me, if you felt, if you're Andy Reid, you know, and you give off this storyline that, you know, Sammy Watkins is important in the playoffs, but you can't get him ready. Again, look, I don't know what kind of hamstring issue that this man has to where he can't be ready, because I know a lot of therapists that can give the man a deep thigh massage or something, you know, saying to work on his hamstring. I know he's married and stuff, but look, there are people out there that can work on that hamstring to where if you want to make sure he's available, don't have him practice. But that, you know, he must have some surgically wrong with that hamstring to where he can't seem to get healthy after 3-4 weeks. And that's a problem.
Yeah, because the hamstring's been a problem, and now it's his calf. It just seems like it's always something with his legs.
I keep trying to tell you that. It's always something with Sammy, you know.
And he's a great player. I mean, I think we can all agree he is one of the best wide receiver twos in the NFL when healthy. But that has been a big issue is his health.
Great player, great guy. You know, and I also got a problem with him, you know, I guess throwing a little cheap shot at the Browns and you ain't even playing. Like, dude, Odell Beckham is, you know, all he's saying is don't be surprised if they win. He's, you know, and Sammy is out there throwing, well, they're not competition. Like, bro, you're not even playing in the game. Shut up. Shut up!
No, I'm 100% with you. It's just one, because it comes off the way, not to the same extent, but like what Chase Claypool is doing. You know how after they lost to the Browns, he is basically talking smack to the Browns. And it's like, Sammy, I know you're part of this team, but if you're not playing, it doesn't have the same factor when you're trying to talk smack. I get it, because at least the game hasn't happened yet, but still, it just seems a little weird.
Well, what I hate about it is that it's easy to talk tough, you know, as players like to say about, you know, about the media sometimes by talking or making comments on social media. You know, you remember how Chris Jones was talking smacked about Carrington and his tweet or whatever.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Okay, Sammy, well, here you are talking, you're talking trap. You know, let me just say, you're talking crap. And now you expect your teammates to go out there and to back your words, because you ain't the one that's got to go across the middle now, you know, saying to get your other calf or your other hamstring injured. You know, you don't have to worry about that. Tyreek and Kelsey and everybody else got to go out there and fight the fight for you, because you can't do it. But you can run your mouth and you can run your fingers on Twitter. But, man, I don't know, man. It's,
yeah.
It's your generation right here, man.
Please. For me, I think Sammy Watkins is the bigger loss, but Willie Gay Jr. is still a sizable loss. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still questionable. You know,
I don't see him playing.
Yeah.
I just don't. Just the way Andy was describing it, you know, he claimed that he looked good in practice this week, but then all of a sudden he didn't practice, and
yeah,
now he's questionable. I just don't see if I'm Coach Reid, I'm going to ride Le'Veon Bell this playoff. I mean, look, for a running back, all he needs to know is which hole he needs to go to. And look, he is a 1,000-yard, you know, receiver. He can catch the ball. Utilize this man in every facet that you can. Even if you have to have Darrell Williams in the backfield, have Le'Veon on the field somewhere.
Yeah, especially with the loss of Sammy Watkins for this game.
Yeah.
Utilize what Le'Veon does best, and that's probably his receiving ability. I guess I would say I'd feel comfortable still with Le'Veon and Darrell Williams if Clyde Edwards-Helaire can't go. I'm with you. I think it'd be tough to see him play just based on the nature of his injury. It looked brutal. I mean, his injury looked bad. So
Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to jump in right quick. Look, man, I like Clyde right now, but to me, this game right here, this is going to be big boy football right here. He's too small for what. Look, man, when you see Kareem Hunt, and look, I've seen Kareem, I've, you know, been next to him in person, so, you know, seeing the size of this man and then watching some of these games these last few days on NFL Network, seeing him, seeing Nick Chubb, this is going to be big boy football that they're going to be unveiling on Sunday. Cleveland's going to be running the football. Chiefs might try to, you know, look, they might try to meet fire with fire in running the football. And to me, you know, this is I mean, what, I don't even know. Clyde hasn't really played in snow before, I think, maybe outside of Denver that one time. So for that to be the case now, man, I need the Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers running in this game, because he knows how to run in, you know, in cold, if there's any snow left on the ground. No, this is big boy football right here, Sunday coming up. And this is, look, save Clyde for next week if there's a next week.
I'll tell you this, though. You keep talking about how the Browns are going to run it down the Chiefs. Over the team's last six games.
I didn't say they were going to run it down the Chiefs.
I'm
what
just
I
saying.
Said was that was that their offense is going to be, running the football. I mean, that's their best chance of beating Kansas City.
No, it's not, Darren. You know this.
Oh,
I've told you already. The best chance of beating Kansas City is by Baker Mayfield performing and overperforming, which is what he's done the past 6 weeks. You can't beat the Chiefs running the football. It's just not the recipe for success. I will send you an article after this that breaks down why you can't beat the Chiefs.
Because
you don't want stats. You don't want to hear it. You just want to go with this old trope
of
beating Kansas City. That's bad. You have to have something that backs that up. And backing it up is the only way to beat Kansas City is by scoring more points than them. At the end of the day,
what the hell, Sterling? That's the game of sports right there.
That's my point.
Thank you, Sterling, for encapsulating what sports means. Yes, to have more points than the other thank you, Sterling. I did not know that.
And that's why I'm saying it doesn't matter how you score. It's how effectively you can score, and why time of possession, for example, does not mean anything. You know why? Colts dominated time of possession. What happened? They lost. You try to score more points. The goal is not to control the clock. The goal is to score more points. That's my point.
Hold on, Sterling. I understand that. But here's the thing. If the Chiefs come out slow like they normally do, and the Browns, they take up 6, 7, 8 minutes, and they go down there, and they do score.
Sure.
Okay.
Who gets
Kansas
the ball
City
next?
Well, I mean, I would imagine, unless somebody fumbled the ball or something, that the Chiefs would get the ball back. But the Chiefs still have to come back, and they have to score as well. You are assuming, I just had this conversation with Steve, it was funny. You are assuming that the Chiefs are going to just, you know, get out there and score like it's no big deal. Because if that was the case, Sterling, we wouldn't have been having close ball games throughout the latter half of the season, where it would come down to a one-possession game. The Chiefs have had trouble moving the ball. The Chiefs have trouble scoring in the red zone.
Sure, I'm not disagreeing.
My whole
point is, it doesn't matter how long Cleveland has the ball, and I'm not blaming that. I would put the blame on the Kansas City Chiefs offense is my point. I'd blame that on Patrick Mahomes and the offense not firing on all cylinders. At the end of the day, all you can do is give them the amount of possessions that they need to win the football game. In games where the Chiefs had the 10 worst time of possession margins, they had 10.2 average drives that game. In the games where they had the 10 best average time of possessions, or time of possessions margin, they had 10.7 possessions per game. AKA, time of possessions doesn't really matter. It comes down to how many possessions and how effective can Mahomes and this Chiefs offense be when they have the ball. That is what matters.
Again, if Kansas City cannot stop the Browns from running the football up and down, the Browns will be able to utilize the clock, and they will be and look and they will find the way into the end zone, whether it's on the ground or in the air. But if every possession they are getting, they are scoring, and they're scoring touchdowns. And the Chiefs, if for whatever reason they're coming out playing slow, trying to play catch up, or they're not clicking on all cylinders because, you know, the star players have been off 21 days, that will have an adverse effect, Sterling.
Well, no, I agree, but that's based on the offense doing that. That's not based on Cleveland running the ball versus passing the football. That'd be based on the Chiefs' offense not clicking.
Okay, so again, for Cleveland to win, you think that they need to rely on Baker Mayfield versus Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb? Are you seriously telling me that?
You know why? Over the last six games. Yes, and you know why? Over the last six games, when Cleveland has actually been good, beaten good teams, it's been on the back of Baker Mayfield, not on the back of the running backs. Cleveland, over the past 6 weeks, has had 726 rushing yards, an average yards per carry of 4.17. Guess what the Chiefs have done? 719 with 4.63 yards per carry. And you wouldn't say Kansas City relies on their run game. Why would you say Cleveland's 4.17 yards per carry with only seven more yards than Kansas City's needs to be focused on the run game instead of focusing on how they've been winning football games recently, and that's through the air with Baker Mayfield?
So I want to get this straight. So the game that they lost against the New York Jets, which we both would have assumed that they were going to win.
Oh, they had no wide receivers.
They had no wide receivers. But Baker Mayfield, you put the ball in his hands, you let him throw 53 times, 254 yards, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. Instead, just run the ball you had no wide receivers. But instead of utilizing your running backs, no, you want to put the hands, put the game in the hands of your quarterback.
Sure, of course.
And he couldn't deliver. So you can't have it both ways.
Yes, you can. The whole point is they had zero wide receivers.
They lost.
Blaming Cam Newton. Why do you think I'm not blaming Cam Newton for this. You know why? He has no wide receivers. Make a difference. That's the whole point of what happened last week. How did the Browns beat the Steelers? Yes, you could say they had some plays go their way. You know, defense stepped up because Big Ben was absolutely miserable. But it's because Baker Mayfield performed and stepped up. Sure, Kareem Hunt had some great runs. I'll give him that.
So now Kareem was just an afterthought because he had a couple of great runs. That's fine. So the 127 yards, rushing that they had and the two touchdowns Kareem Hunt had, without it, they lose the ball game. Because you subtract those 12 points, then, now it's 37-36 Steelers.
You can't just subtract the points because that's just saying then all of a sudden turnover.
Hold on.
You can't just vacate points like that.
It's just going to be all Baker Mayfield, and whatever Baker Mayfield does, going to go to the success of the Cleveland Browns. Is that what you're telling me?
What I'm telling you right now is Baker Mayfield has more correlation on whether the Browns win or lose than Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb will have. I will say if Baker Mayfield has a great game, they have a better chance. If Baker Mayfield has a terrible game, they have a worse chance. If Kareem Hunt has a good game or a bad game, it's not going to be as predicated on him as it would be Baker Mayfield. I'm saying Baker Mayfield matters more. His success or his poor performance is what will dictate this game.
Okay, so Baker Mayfield has three touchdowns, no interceptions, but the running backs have four fumbles, and they all turn it over. Who are you going to put the blame on? You going to put on Mayfield or are you going to put on the running backs?
Well, obviously, they'll be on the running backs for having four
turnovers. So if the running game has four touchdowns on the ground, but Baker Mayfield has two interceptions, but he doesn't have any turnovers, he doesn't have any touchdowns, who's going to get the credit? Are you going to credit Baker Mayfield or are you going to credit the running backs?
Well, in that situation, the running backs. But that's such a wild differential. How often has that happened?
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying.
Since you like to bring other games, other players in, I mean, we could pull a lot of Tennessee Titan games and stuff like that. But I just want to make sure that you are consistent because however this game turns out, because I don't know. We're going to see come Sunday. I'm going to put some money on it. We're going to see how it turns out. But if Baker Mayfield, if the Browns lose this game, And it's a balance between either Mayfield or the running game, I want to see which direction you go and land the blame.
Sure. I will be consistent.
Okay.
I've been consistent the entire time. You know this. It's the same thing in Tennessee. It's the same reason why I got frustrated when in that loss they just kept feeding Derrick Henry and his 2.1 yards per carry when you could see A.J. Brown dominating through the air and the refs allowing him to push off. And the fact that they wouldn't change their game plan and try to go to A.J. Brown more while they're just handing off to 2.1 yards per carry, that makes no sense to me.
No, see, the issue I have is that you're trying to give the quarterback all the credit without trying to say that his success is not due to having a balanced attack with the running game. Because again, Baker Mayfield is not going to win a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. But if he utilizes, again, as I said, if they utilize, because that's how he's been successful this year, utilizing the run game and play action off of it and not making dumb mistakes. But, again, because look, if you were just dependent on Baker Mayfield, then you would continue that situation that what happened with Odell Beckham getting him hurt because you're so busy trying to focus on one wide receiver, trying to get him catches and yards and stuff like that, that you lose sight of the team thing because you're trying to focus on one particular person. So what I'm saying is Mayfield, along with the running game, if they play a smart collective game, they can utilize that to beat Kansas City. But you're just trying to say that it's going to be Baker Mayfield by himself that's going to be able to beat Kansas City, and that's not going to happen.
I think Kareem Hunt is best utilized out of the backfield receiving more than anything. Kareem Hunt is a phenomenal receiver out of the backfield. I think that is probably his best attribute. We've seen him once he gets in open space, and he is extremely tough to bring down. I mean, we saw it. Last week, on one of those touchdowns, he dragged about three dudes into the end zone. The key is getting him the ball in space. And I think that if the Browns focus on that, because I will say that worries me more than the Chiefs' run defense, to be completely honest with you, because the Chiefs have struggled guarding receiving backs. We've seen it time and time again. You know, I always go to Austin Eckler because that's the first one that comes to mind, and he always seems to get like 10 catches for like 120 yards. The Chiefs defense has actually only allowed one 100-yard rusher in the past six games. One rushing game, not player. One 100-yard rushing game in the past six games.
Yeah, but most of those games I think have been in the air though. So that's probably true. But I think, you know, looking at the quarterbacks that they played Brady, they played Tua, they played Breeze. So, of course, you know, those quarterbacks are going to air it out.
Tua does not air it out. Come on now. Tua does not air the ball out.
But I'm saying in that game against the Chiefs, I'm not saying he's done it for the season or anything like that. We're just talking about, you just mentioned the last six games. The thing that worries me about the Chiefs this week, as you talked about with the offensive line, is that line of scrimmage. And that's what concerns me the most, because one of the questions that I wanted to get in with Chris Jones today was, with the 21 days off, you know, good. You would have thought that with that time off, those players should be healthy. All those players seem to be healthy except for Sammy Watkins. But we just talked about him, so I'm not going to go there again. But for me, they have to win the line of scrimmage at the opening kickoff, because, you know, for those players, you know, Jones, Clark, Tyron, all them, you had that time off. I need you to come out with this. I need you to meet, you know, iron sharpening that iron, because the Browns, they're going to come out hype. You know, they're already confident because they won their game last week. They feel like they've gained kind. They feel like they're on a momentum coming into Sunday's game. I need you to meet them with the same energy, with the same force at the opening snap. To me, that's going to be key, because if there's any lull and Cleveland gets on a roll, that becomes an issue. And so that's what worries me most, is what's going to happen at the line of scrimmage and whether or not the Chiefs will be able to get pressure on Baker Mayfield as the game begins.
Yes, because the Cleveland Browns offensive line actually ranked first in PFF's passing and run blocking. So they have an extremely good and talented offensive line on both sides. It's rare to have an offensive line who's good in both pass and run blocking. So that is impressive. Yeah. But Chris Jones and Frank Clark, you said it, because, one, they're getting paid all this money. They're not paid to go out and perform against the Jets, against the Broncos, when the Broncos are bad, at least. They're paid to go out and perform against these type of teams, playoff teams, good offensive lines. Chris Jones kept talking about how he wanted to play week 17, a game that didn't matter, so he can get his 2.5 sacks for the money. Well, now you're talking all that. Come out and get 2.5 sacks now when the game is on the line and this game actually matters. That's what I want to see.
Oh, well, I mean, you said anything I would have just said just then. I agree with you. And look, and Frank, we haven't talked to Frank in a minute, so he definitely needs to come out and have a big game. I mean, because this, like you said, this is where you get paid the big bucks for. You know, I mean, the team is 14-2. You had a fresh round bye. You got home field advantage throughout the playoffs. You win, you move on to the AFC Championship game. So you already know that you're two games away. And for me, it is different. You know, obviously the situation is different because last year, you know, you were seeking your first title. This year, because you've already got your, you know, this time around, because you've already gotten your title, this year now you have to be able to be ready to defend it and make sure that you can protect. Look, don't talk about you want to run it back and then you come out and you lay an egg. That ain't gonna be good.
Yeah, I mean, I personally expect big games from Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I mean, Honey Badger for two, but I just want to focus on the defensive line. This Chiefs team, especially D line wise, it's not like they've had a lot to play for the past few weeks. If we're being completely honest, we knew they were probably going to win those games. Week 17, obviously, had nothing to play for. Maybe they needed some good competition and a super meaningful game to light a spark underneath them. Maybe they got complacent. I know it's pro football, but it's a long season. Maybe they got a little complacent. So I expect Chris Jones and Frank Clark to have big games.
Can't do that because Chris Jones, to his credit, sounded like me. You know, sounded like I said, if you know, if you go into week 17 and you play and you half ass it, I mean, he said today, if you go in there complacent like that, you're going to get your ass whooped, you know, and you're going to get yourself hurt. You can't do that. I mean, and so I do believe that they understand the urgency and they understand the urgency of not starting off slow. Now, it's one thing to say it. You still have to go out there and do it and perform. And so that you know, I mean, we can sit and talk about it all day long, you know, about whether or not they can do it or not. But that's, you know, at the end of the day, you have to go out there and you have to show what you can do. If they can do that, then, you know, like I said, you know, I'm all for it. Now, I don't know if we're going to give our predictions now or in the next segment.
About to say, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's give our predictions. And then later on in the show, I do want to get some of your thoughts on some of the big coaching changes going around the NFL. We'll take a quick break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Take the baseline out. Uh-huh.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Darren, that was fun. I like getting into it with you. See, I like it because we can both give it back and forth and we don't get, you know, too upset at least.
I don't get upset at all. I be telling people all the time. People like, oh, you take, man, I don't take stuff personal, man.
That's what's fun.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Now, you disrespect my gay's barbecue or something. Oh. Yeah, now we might come to blows on that. But
see, we both agree there. Man, see, we both agree there. Yeah. We both know, you know, the beef nooner, the burn ends, you know, we're good there. The extra spicy.
Exactly,
we're
so
golden.
Yeah, so nah, man, I don't take this. Man, I tell you all the time, man. I said, first of all, you know, and it's funny, I told this to Greg Gurley, too, because I had said something about. What's the name? Andrew Wiggins, I think, opened tonight. Cost me money, too. I was pissed about that. And I said something about it, and I was like, man, Bill himself, man, you know, he can recruit, but, damn, he cannot coach these players up to be NBA players. And he got a, oh, damn, you got to have a hot take. I said, Greg, if you agree with everything I said, well, why you listen to my show? I'm like, that's the whole point. I don't say stuff for hot takes, and I don't say stuff for everybody to agree with me on. If you agree with me, then, I mean, okay, cool. But if not, man, I ain't going to lose no sleep, dude. Gosh.
I'm actually with you there because is KU basketball like the Ohio State quarterback of football? All right, we got to get in. We don't have enough time for this today.
Right.
We'll go with the game tomorrow. Rams versus Green Bay. Jared Goff is the starter. What's your initial thoughts on this game?
My initial thoughts, man. My initial thoughts is I have two upsets, man. And as much as I'd love to see a Packers Chiefs Super Bowl after, of course, my Chiefs Bucks Super Bowl, I got a feeling that I think the Packers are going to win this game, but I would not be surprised if the Rams did. But see, I would pick the Rams if I could trust that that their quarterback
Goff.
Doggone it, yeah, Jared Goff. If he just did not, you know, turn the ball over or anything like that, because to me the matchup to watch tomorrow it's going to be the Jalen Ramsey Devontae Adams matchup, and that to me is going to be so key because, you know, I mean we you know obviously Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball to anyone, but you know but that guy right there, Devontae Adams, he's going to have to get him involved, and he's going to have to throw the ball often, especially try to get it, you know, get into the end zone for them to beat this team. Aaron Jones will do what he can on the ground, but man, that's the matchup to watch. And look, to be honest, it's really going to be a matter of how healthy Aaron Donald is truly going to be. But I could see, you know, you know what, man, because I'm going to be putting money on this. So I guess I'm going to go with the Packers, but I can see a scenario where the Rams, if they run the ball with Cam Akers like they did last week, and that defense do what it do. You know, Jared Goff could do just he could be Baker Mayfield, do just enough to not lose the ball game and put the Packers get them out.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, I think the weather knowledge is going to come into effect. I think Green Bay wins it.
Yeah, this was very tough for me because I'm with you. I think if one the main factors for me were is Jared Goff's thumb completely healthy, and then is Aaron Donald completely healthy, because Aaron Donald's the big one. I don't know.
Both of them are nose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be – if Aaron Donald's not completely 100%, as much as I want to go with the Rams and see an upset, it's just too difficult. Jalen Ramsey will be all over Devontae Adams. I think that's –
God, yes.
That's going to be one of the best matchups to watch all weekend. But without Aaron Donald being 100%, without Jared Goff's thumb being 100%, I have a tough time thinking the Rams can go in and beat Green Bay. Green Bay has been rolling for most of the season.
But here's the thing. A part of me goes back to the game where Green Bay played Tampa. And, I mean, and Tampa hit them with that defense so quickly where, what, Aaron Rodgers threw a pick six?
Yeah.
And then threw an interception that was returned to inside the 5-yard line. Look, I mean, we got to remember something. The Rams – defensively, they're good. Look, Aaron Donald might not be 100%, but Aaron Donald still will command at least a double team. And what's going to happen is you're going to leave somebody like Leonard Floyd available. Don't forget Darius Williams balled last week. 42-yard interception for a return for a touchdown in the wild card game. So, you know, I mean, there's – dude, hey, they can legitimately go in there, man. You know, again – I don't know what the weather is. You know, to me, that's always a factor or an underlying factor. But yeah, one thing I will say to Andy Reid said, any team that makes it this far, they're all good teams. So, yeah, I mean, look, we've seen it last year. You know, teams get upset, man, in this thing. So, you know, the Rams could go in there and knock them off. I mean, money-wise, I'm going to try to cover myself either way. Now this man, ooh, this is a good one, man. I just part of me want to switch and go with this upset. It's more money in the upset. So.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. It's definitely a good one to start the. It's not super wild card weekend, but let's call it super second weekend. Divisional. Buffalo and Baltimore. Buffalo is the home team. These two teams may be the two hottest teams currently playing in the NFL right now, at least to end the season. This one should be fun.
Yeah, this is my upset. I'm going to go with Baltimore on the road in this one. I think, Buffalo has a hard time stopping the run, and obviously, you know, Baltimore's going to be committed to running the football. Lamar Jackson, he has shown that he can't throw the ball. I am not going to say anything about it being a bull. I think all these games are going to be close, with the exception of the Chiefs. I don't think they cover 10-point spread, but I think they win by more than a touchdown. This game here, I think it's going to go back and forth, but I think I think if Baltimore can get up on them, I think it's better for them to do that than to try to come from behind. If Buffalo gets up early on them, then all bets are off. But man, this is going to be a good game as well. This is a night game, but yeah, I like Baltimore in an upset.
Yeah, this was tough. This will be all these games will be fantastic to watch because they all have some good storylines. Again, these two may be the two hottest teams heading into the playoffs. The thing that gives me a little bit of cause. with going with Baltimore is their receivers. I don't think they have enough talent on the outside to keep up. They came back last week. Lamar Jackson got the little boogeyman off his back saying, I won in the playoffs. I finally did it. And not only that, I came back from being down 10-plus points. He'd never come back, I think, from a 10-point deficit in his career, and he finally did it. That was huge. Yeah. I don't know if he can do it back-to-back weeks. I think this Buffalo Bills offense is just too hot right now. I think that if Baltimore gets into a hole, I think it's all over. I could see that being a blowout.
But they only scored 27 last week.
No, that's fine. But they had a lot of mistakes last week. I don't know if that's going to happen again. My main issue with Lamar Jackson, it's not even necessarily with him. I just don't think he has enough weapons personally for him to try and keep up with Buffalo's offense. That's my main concern is Lamar Jackson's a phenomenal talent. His, 42-yard rush was maybe he's the only player in the NFL that probably could have made that play. The only issue is, though, trying to go deep, do you trust Hollywood Brown to not drop the ball? You know, I mean, these are real questions, and if they get behind, I find it hard to believe they can come back two times in 2 weeks after not doing that literally from the onset of his career.
Yeah. Look, man, all of what you said is true. I mean, I have no problem with that. And to be honest, you know, the answer, who are you putting on Stephon Diggs? Are you putting Marcus Peters? I know he was on the injured list this week, so I don't know. You know, I don't know if you're going to try to single matchup with him or what. Are you going to play zone with Diggs? But no, this is going to be a good matchup. And you know what? I think I'm, you know, no, take that back. I already gave. I thought I already gave him an upset pick, one of them. But, you know, I'm going to change my pick. I'm going to go with Buffalo on this one. I just think, you know, because for some reason I just got this feeling that the NFL, well, I think the NFL would really love to see Baltimore, Kansas City. But I think, you know, I think a shootout between Buffalo and Kansas City will be what the fans would like to see. Plus, I would like to see your head explode next week, too, seeing Josh Allen go up against Patrick Mahomes and you having to make a choice for your life to see who's going to win that game. So I'm going to go with Buffalo just on the strength. I want to see your head explode next week.
Okay, thank you. Just based on that, I appreciate that one.
Based on that alone, bro.
We'll go Chiefs-Browns last. We'll go to Tampa Bay-New Orleans, the final game on Sunday at 5:40. This one is – I saw somewhere on Twitter they said this one should be on the History Channel because Drew Brees and Tom Brady are so old.
No. What you need to do is you need to watch Undisputed at the very end where they have Frank Caliendo, who sounds exactly like Morgan Freeman narrating this matchup. Oh, it is so golden. Yes, it is.
This is fun, though. Both of our Super Bowl picks coming from the NFC going into this season are facing off in this game. I had New Orleans. Yeah. You had Tampa Bay. This will be one step closer for one of our Super Bowl predictions coming right. I'm still rocking with New Orleans. I don't know what you're going with, but I'm still rocking with my preseason pick, and that is New Orleans.
What's wrong with you? You know I'm rocking with Tampa Bay.
I know. Hey, look, you flip-flopped earlier today.
Shut up. Oh, you're going to try to go there. Nah. Hey, man, let me tell you something, dude. And so Steve and I, we do our Chiefs pregame stuff Sunday. So, look, I'm actually going to enjoy this because this is, you know, between me and Steve and you, you know, this is like the battle. This is going to be, you know, this is like Skeletor versus He-Man. You know, this is going to be our final battle on this because one of these teams is advancing. Now, what's going to be messed up is if neither one of them gets the Super Bowl because of Green Bay or the Rams, but that's another pool next week.
We'll cross that bridge once we get to it.
but it is hard to beat a team, especially a division foe, three times in a season. And it's not to say that the Saints cannot do it because they can. They beat Tampa Bay with 34-23 last time they played, I think back in September. And then of course, they beat them 38-3 at home, which was a shellacking. It was on Sunday Night Football, so I wasn't expecting that. But of course, they're going to play again Sunday evening. I think Tampa Bay on the NFC side is probably the hottest team coming into the playoffs. I think they've won, five, six games in a row They won five games in a row. So, no, I'm liking the way they playing Drew Brees. I think he's still having a little bit of a struggle getting the ball down the field. Brady has shown that, I mean, he's chucking that thing. And to be quite honest, man, I like the way he's playing. I mean, just recognizing because they're underdogs, I guess you can call this an upset. But this is my other upset pick, which was my original pick of Tampa Bay winning. And I just think defensively, if Drew Brees cannot get the ball out of his hand quick enough, you saw how that Tampa Bay defense was getting after that Washington quarterback. And the only thing that saved him, you know, one, he wasn't Alex Smith, and two, he was a little bit, you know, he was a lot more mobile. Drew Brees ain't been all that mobile. So, you know, and I'm not expecting Drew Brees to, you know, break it to the outside and get down the field. So I think we might actually see a lot of Taysom Hill on Sunday, you know, for the Saints to try to be victorious. But I like Tampa Bay in this game on the road.
Michael Thomas being back is huge. I think the Saints played it extremely safe with him a lot of this season with his injuries. And the fact that they've gotten this far with him being out for almost the entire season, bad for my fantasy football team, but great for the Saints because getting him back healthy is huge. Drew Brees utilizes Alvin Kamara so much better than – again, Taysom Hill was fine when he took over and did his thing. You know, he was okay. But Drew Brees really focuses on using Alvin Kamara and getting him into space. He'll get like 8 catches a game when Drew Brees is back there. You say they're just dump-offs, sure, but those dump-offs consistently go for about 8-9 yards.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, that's a very effective, safe move, and Drew Brees utilizes that, and then having Michael Thomas back to break one really helps. So this Saints defense I still think has a lot of talent. I think they're very good in all phases. The Buccaneers defense I think can be beat. We've seen them early on this year. I mean, what was it, 34, 38 points the Saints have put up. Mm-hmm. If the Saints can even replicate that a little bit, because I don't know if the Buccaneers can put up 30 points against this Saints defense. That's my main concern. If it gets to a shootout, I think, you know, you have, all bets are off, but I just don't see the Buccaneers being able to do that against this Saints defense.
Well, I know we're going to get to the other game, but I will say this. Since that last game, which was, I think, since that loss to the Saints and even to Kansas City, they've changed up their, you know, kind of like their offense. Like, Brady's getting the ball out of his hands much, much more quicker. And so if he's getting the ball out of his hands in under 2 seconds, then I think he can nick and knack, or, you know, nickel and dime the Saints defense throughout the ball game, which is what he's going to need to do. And then next thing you know, he's going to hit him over the top to Antonio Brown when they least expect it. So Brady has been playing, you know, extremely well these last 5 games for a reason. And I just don't see it stopping in this game on Sunday.
I think we do the Chiefs-Browns in the last segment. I think we do a little tease right here. What do you say?
That's fine, but I know you still want to talk about the coaches or something.
We got time. That's why I'm doing this now.
Okay.
Have time. Come on, baby. We got time now.
Let's do it.
We'll do it. So we'll take a quick break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. All right, Darren, now it's time. Chiefs versus Browns. A 10-point spread here. That seems a little crazy for a playoff game, but I don't know if it's crazy going against it. I think we both have Chiefs in this game. I think that's safe to assume. But how do you see this game playing out?
Well, be honest, this will be the one time when I bet Moneyline they actually beat them by 10 points or more. I just think that Kansas City, for all the huff that you and I and others have done throughout the last couple of weeks, I think maybe Odell Beckham and Sammy Watkins may have helped wake up a sleeping giant. And to me, if a tweet has to get you focused on a game, that's a problem within itself. But knowing what's at stake, where they want to run it back, I do know they've been focused enough to where you don't want to go 14-2 in your first game back. You lay an egg, and I don't see that happening. If the Chiefs were to lose, it would be an AFC Championship game and not in a wild card, because you don't expect them to lose at home in this environment, and you definitely don't expect them to lose to the Cleveland Browns. So I think it's I think more legacy stuff is at stake for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes than it is obviously for the Browns. So to be quite honest, I got the Chiefs and went in, I think, 31-24, so I guess it was by a touchdown that they beat them by. But the Chiefs, the Chiefs get up on them. I think Cleveland gets up early, because the Chiefs, they always start off slow. They just can't help themselves. They'll start off slow, and they'll play catch-up, and then they'll get the lead, and then they'll do enough to hold the lead. They won't cover the point spread, but – but that's what they'll do. So I got the Chiefs winning 31-24.
Yeah, I have the Chiefs in this one. I have the Chiefs winning 32-26. I think it's going to be a close game. I think playoff games are almost always close. Playoff games, I feel like there's not as common to see blowouts. I'm rolling with the Chiefs. The Browns have been playing very good, inspired football. They have a lot of confidence going into this game right now. But Kansas City is just too good overall. That stat I pulled up, not including Week 17, but the 6 weeks when Kansas City had their starters, they've only given one 100-yard rusher. Yeah. I think that we're not talking about that enough. I think Kansas City can hold their own against the Browns. I think the defense will be able to hold their own. So I think the Kansas City offense at that point is just going to decimate to an extent this Browns defense. Myles Garrett will get his, because Myles Garrett is just that good, and he's that dude. Denzel Ward being back is obviously a huge upgrade for that secondary, but still, they don't have a lot of talent in that secondary, so I think Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce will be able to do their thing.
I'm with you. We just got to see. I don't think defensively, that they have what it takes to stop the weapons that we have. But again, Chiefs got to do their part. They can't put the ball on the ground. They can't, Patrick can't try to be too cute and throwing, behind the legs or through the leg type passes or whatever. Just get the ball to its intended receiver. Make sure you put enough air underneath it and put the ball out in front of the receivers so they don't have to, try to adjust to it, where they can just fall underneath and run straight to the end zone.
Oh, 100%. Because if we have the Chiefs do what Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers did, first snap into the end zone and they throw four interceptions, then yes, all bets are off and I have no idea what's going to happen. So as long as they don't do that, I have good faith in Kansas City. Robert Saleh is now becoming the Jets head coach. I thought he may have had his pick, so it's surprising to see him go to New York, in my opinion. What do you make of Robert Saleh going to the New York Jets?
I think it's a good move for them. I do like the fact that they hired someone of color. I know he's the first Muslim to actually become a head coach in Lebanese descent to become a head coach in the NFL. So congrats to him on that. People say, why do you hire a defensive person for the quarterback? Well, the thing is, you hire a defensive coach like that to get that defense in shape. You hire an offensive coordinator, somebody to come and to work with that quarterback and to build the offense around him and his strength. That's not his strength. It's going to be on the defensive side of the ball and managing the team as a whole. But look, just like Andy Reid don't coach no defense. He brought in Steve Spagnuolo, who's a defensive coordinator. He lets Steve take over the defense and do what it do. That's what Robert's going to do. Robert's going to do it on the defense side of the ball. You bring in someone who you can trust, to give maybe Sam Darnold, if you decide to go a different direction with that quarterback, and you build the offense around them, and you build, and you get the players to surround them to make that quarterback competent. So I like the pick, and, look, he's got a 5-year deal, so, he's going to get paid either way.
Yeah, it's great for the Jets. I think it's a great pickup. So a little less than 2 minutes, we have the Atlanta Falcons offering head coaching job to Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. What do you think of this one?
Well, they offered to him because of that run game, but I mean, it's cool. You know, it, to me, again, this is the issue with Eric Bieniemy, to where, you know, the calendar is just not working in his favor right now, because they can't, you know, he can't get hired by a team, you know, because he's still playing. He can't have a second interview because, you know, he's still in season. And so, you know, Saleh, the other, you know, actually all these coaches that are getting hired, they've all gotten hired because they've been able to at least have second interviews and stuff like that. And he can't do it right now. So,
yeah, it's very tough for Bieniemy. Now, Urban Meyer, Robert Saleh, and maybe Arthur Smith, once that gets confirmed, they just have the job offered to him. That's three spots off. Makes it pretty tough on Eric Bieniemy. Well, this was a great week. Darren, I'm glad you were starting to feel better. I'm happy for you.
Appreciate that.
I'm glad you're starting to feel better, but was rude on the Chiefs this weekend. We appreciate everyone listening to us this week. This was Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. We will be back Monday to discuss and break down, hopefully, a Chiefs victory over the Browns. Anything you want to say before we get out, Darren?
Go Chiefs, I guess. That's about it.
Well, there we go. You heard it. Heard from Darren yourself as he's getting better. Well, until Monday, this is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. We are out.